KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers, presenting the new 2024 RAV4 with on- and off-the-road versatility and up to a 262-mile range with gas, hybrid, and plug-in options available. Visit your Toyota dealer for more. San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.
Good morning, I'm Tepe Cruz. It's Wednesday, October 16th. Chula Vista setting new housing rules that could change the look of neighborhoods. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. Gas prices in the county increased slightly yesterday. The average price of a gallon of gas rose to about $4.68. The small bump comes as Governor Gavin Newsom on Monday signed a law aimed at preventing spikes in the price of gas. The law gives regulators the power to require that refineries keep a certain amount of fuel on hand. The goal is to try to keep prices from increasing suddenly when refineries go offline for maintenance. There's new pressure from Imperial Beach residents to fix the cross-border sewage problem. A lawsuit was filed yesterday against Veolia Water North America, the operator of the International Wastewater Treatment Plant in San Ysidro. The suit demands Veolia fix the problems at the plant. The suit says that over the last 5 years, there have been more than 500 instances of raw sewage being released into the ocean, more than a billion gallons. Brett Schreiber is with the law firm of Singleton Schreiber.
We believe that this ongoing environmental catastrophe could have and should have been prevented if Veolia had just simply done their job. If any of us had done our jobs as poorly as Veolia has, we would all be fired.
KPBS reached out to Veolia Water North America for a comment, but did not hear back by our deadline. Meanwhile, County Supervisor Tara Lawson Reamer is circulating a petition asking the EPA to designate the Tijuana River Valley a Superfund site. The designation would allow the EPA to direct federal money to help clean up the contaminated river. Earlier this month, the Board of Supervisors voted to delay any formal decision on pursuing a Superfund designation. But Lawson Reamer and several leaders in the South Bay are pushing forward as concerns grow over the health risks posed by cross-border pollution. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalage, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
Residential neighborhoods in Chula Vista could look vastly different under new housing rules the city is studying. iNewsSource reporter Emily Inko has more.
They're called accessory dwelling units, sometimes granny flats. And in Chula Vista, homeowners can build one on their property. Now, the city will research whether to allow two detached ADUs. It could help the region's housing crisis and would happen in one of the county's fastest growing cities. But when a change could happen is unknown. The city council has directed staff to study the issue and collect public feedback. Here's council member Jose Preciado.
I think for the interest of all of us, I think we need to slow this down.
For KPBS, I'm iNewsSource reporter Emily Inko.
iNewsSource is an independently funded nonprofit partner of KPBS. After the overturning of Roe v. Wade 2 years ago, women's reproductive rights may take a further hit. KPBS's Amitha Sharma says that's if Project 2025 is implemented.
Project 2025 was crafted by the conservative think tank the Heritage Foundation. A hallmark of the document is reviving the 1873 law called the Comstock Act. It bans mailing items that could be used for an abortion. UC Davis Law Professor Mary Ziegler specializes in the politics of reproduction. She says because all abortions in the U.S. involve the male, this would amount to instituting a national abortion ban.
The other thing I think that people don't understand is that this kind of outcome could be engineered without Congress.
Ziegler says she's uncertain about what a challenge to the Comstock Act would look like.
We haven't really seen anyone attempt to enforce a 19th century criminal law in the present day.
Former President Donald Trump has denied he will implement Project 2025 if he wins the presidential election. A CNN report found 140 people who worked in the first Trump administration helped write the plan. Amita Sharma, KPBS News.
As we approach Election Day, all eyes are on the presidential race, but there are also several local races that will have big impacts across the region. Our public matters partner, Scott Lewis from Voice of San Diego, joined KPBS's Amita Sharma to discuss.
Scott, on election night when the polls close, the results are coming in. What race will you scroll down to first?
The first one I will look at is the county supervisor's race, District 3. Incumbent Tara Lawson-Reamer, a Democrat, is trying to hold her seat against the Republican challenger, Kevin Faulkner, former mayor of San Diego. Everybody's watching that. Millions of dollars are flowing into that race. It's going to be a real nail biter, I think, and everybody's really interested because there's so much at stake, especially for housing, homelessness, how the county's going to go forward. The other one that I'm really interested in, I'm obsessed with it. I think I might be the only one in the state, but that's Prop 5. I think it'll be really close, 50-50, and it'll have a big impact on cities and counties going forward, whether they can raise property taxes to build stuff.
So let's talk about that District 3 county race a little bit. You had been on the program recently, and you had said linking a candidate to Trump is showing that it could hurt the candidate's chances. Talk to me a little bit more about that.
Well, several years ago, 2018, Lori Zaff was running for re-election as a city councilwoman in a district. She had no scandals, no big problems. People seemed to appreciate her leadership. She lost by 15 points by the most tenuous connections that Labor and Democrats were able to make between her and Trump. Kevin Faulkner, on the other hand, has pretty strong connections. He endorsed him. He went to the Oval Office, that sort of notorious photo. And it's been a very powerful point that the Democrats have made. And they've been on TV during the Padres playoff games. They've been all over the mail with this sign of he stood with Trump, and billboards, too. And, you know, that's their main case. It's like the outside groups are putting about $2 million in, but about three quarter of it is supporting Kevin Faulkner. The rest is going to say, like, Kevin Faulkner stood with Trump. And that's their theory, is that it would sink him no matter how good his attacks on Tara Lawson-Reamer are.
If by chance Faulkner wins against Tara Lawson-Reamer, how might that victory impact San Diego County as a whole?
I think the biggest area it'll impact immediately is housing in the unincorporated areas of San Diego County. There's a general plan in place for where you can build housing, thousands and thousands of units. Tara Lawson-Reamer and the Democratic majority of the county right now are really putting constraints on that housing. And Kevin Faulkner wants to let those be built in those areas that are planned under the general plan. Those are thousands of units and would make a big deal. And that's why so many builders are involved in the race right now.
Let's turn our attention to the San Diego mayor's race. There has been a lot of money thrown into that race recently. There's the $1 million that was given by the Lincoln Club. Much of that is going to be spent on challenger Larry Turner.
Yeah.
There's another $300,000 from PACs supporting Mayor Todd Gloria, the incumbent. What does that say about that race right now?
Well, that's about what you would need to make the case for any candidacy for mayor. You have to have enough money to run for mayor, and you have to make the case that A, the incumbent has to go, that they need to lose their job, and B, that you're the one that deserves to replace them. And that second part was really where Larry Turner was struggling, because nobody or very few people knew who he was. That $1 million coming in from an outside group to support him, to put ads all over YouTube and such, should help him get his name recognition up. Now, the problem is we've already had 2 weeks of voting and people have already made their choices. And every hour that goes by that he doesn't change people's minds is an hour that benefits the incumbent.
There is also a contentious council race in Chula Vista. The effort to replace Andrea Cardenas, who pleaded guilty to 2 counts of felony grand theft. What's been going on there?
Well, there's 2 candidates, Rudy Ramirez, who's been on the Chula Vista City Council before, and Cesar Fernandez. They're going at it. It's kind of this old South Bay alliance with the newer one that's there. They're always going, it's Democratic, but they're always going at each other. And they're trading just awful accusations back and forth. Cesar Fernandez accuses Rudy Ramirez of not paying taxes, of not treating his employees well. Rudy Ramirez accuses Fernandez of, a DUI, and there's a recall effort for him. He's on the Chula Vista Elementary School Board. So it's a really negative campaign. But I think it represents that sort of, not old guard as in like older people, but just an establishment, more conservative versus this sort of growing, more progressive group that's trying to take control of the Chula Vista City Council.
Thank you, Scott, for coming on the program.
Thank you.
To get more information on all of the local measures on your ballot, check out the KPBS Voter Hub at kpbs.org. Thousands of sailors returned to San Diego yesterday after an extended deployment to the Middle East. Military reporter Andrew Dyer was pierside for the homecoming.
In the Theodore Roosevelt left San Diego 9 months ago, it was supposed to be 7 months in the Western Pacific. Real-world events intervened, and for the first time in a long time, a San Diego-based carrier was sent to the Middle East.
The ship was more than 5 months into its deployment in the Pacific when that call came. For months, Navy ships have faced drone and missile attacks from Houthi rebels in Yemen, and the Navy's stretched its carrier fleet in response. The commander of the carrier strike group, Rear Admiral Christopher Alexander, says the time away took its toll on sailors.
So we were originally scheduled for a 7-month deployment. We were supposed to be back at the beginning of August. We were extended a total number of 4 different times.
Now, a Navy official says the crew of the Roosevelt can expect some time home in San Diego. Next up to deploy is the USS Carl Vinson. It's due to deploy also to the Western Pacific by the end of the year. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
You can now watch a live stream of San Diego's giant pandas thanks to the zoo's new giant panda cam. The panda cam was launched yesterday and offers a window into the daily activities of 4-year-old female Xing Bao and 5-year-old male Yun Xuan. You can tune in during the day at sandiegozoo.org/pandacam. That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Join us again tomorrow for the day's top stories. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening and have a great Wednesday.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Pacific Arts Movement, presenting the 25th San Diego Asian Film Festival, November 7th to 16th at theaters across San Diego, showcasing films from China, Philippines, South Korea, and Vietnam. For tickets and information, go to sdaff.org.